All right, it's just as I said. We are back on Grimm's Hentai Corner with more Dead on Aegis, so let's get through it. Oh, go, Lizette. It'll be easy for you. Oh, you're so cool. Spurred on by Cersei's voice, Lizette lightly kicks against the deployment port's floor and flies off into space. I just turned that on, too. Whoa, it's aliens in every direction. Good stuff, I'll blow you losers to bits. The hero shines with a white light that rapidly grows larger and larger. Ah, my head's going blank! It feels so good! The controls of light take on a humanoid form. Excuse me. The contours of light take on a humanoid form. It stands at over 10 times Lizette's height, like a shining giant. It is the very same giant of light that appeared in the lunar orbit battle. Oh shit. Is she gonna use the giant to defeat the jewel thief? What the hell is that? It's shining. I've never seen anything like that. Report! Someone give me a report! Deputy Commander Chan and the staff officers are confused at the abrupt appearance of the shining giant. It's an overwhelming, superhuman entity. Cersei looks around the men, who look at it with a mixture of elation and scorn, and declares proudly, "That's Lizette! Lizette Ogerel, my Lizette, the one who moved the moon and saved mankind! This is absurd! This makes no sense! It can't be real! Lizette can't fight without the help of machines. The mechanical unit is the real weapon here. She's nothing more than a force field generator. She's just a living sex doll, that's what she is. She can't be some kind of god. That can't be." Cersei's brows twitch angrily. "Kill yourself." Huh? Before he knows it, Deputy Commander Chan draws his gun and jams the muzzle into his own mouth. What the fuck just happened? Another gunshot booms through the integrated headquarters. The back of Deputy Commander Chan's head bursts like a tomato, spraying gray matter and blue blood all over the walls. Cersei heaves a satisfied sigh and settles into the operator's seat. At this point, her duties are completely forgotten. She simply watches Lizette wreak havoc with entranced eyes. The staff officer that was deployed from the North American Space Forces stands up suddenly with the unnatural movements of a wind-up toy. Deputy Commander Chan passed away suddenly as a result of a sudden heart attack. As the Chief of Staff, I am next in the chain of command, so I will temporarily take over his duties. His words are met with no resistance, and so Deputy Commander Chan's existence becomes a thing of the past. Same day, 1435 Standard Space Time. Minori rampages through the space sector, overcome with rage. Nana, how could they do that to Nana? If only the CC didn't exist! Wow. A gigantic flaming arm sweeps through two UMBs at once, burning them up while simultaneously reducing the 10 FBs hiding behind them to dust. Her senses expand without limit. The sheer volume of sensory information threatens to shatter her mind, but by focusing on her hatred as her core, she manages to keep her consciousness anchored. If these bastards didn't destroy Mars, no. If they never existed, there wouldn't have to be any special warfare troopers. As corpses slash at her, she reaches her arm out towards them. She grabs and crushes their mangled bodies. Five FBs swoop in from behind a UMB, only for her to smash them with a shining fist. Minori can see. She can perceive the entirety of this vast space sector and how the only thing filling it, is the presence of the CC. It's all the CC's fault. It's all because of these unwanted invaders. They mess up the lives of so many people. She swoops into the rows of retreating UMBs, crushing the FBs swirling around them with her hands. The CC's body fluid turns to specks of azure ice, floating through the frozen void of space. Burn! Burn! All of you! Every last one of you! Disappear! With her arms shaped like swords, she squishes the clumps of FBs and reduces them to ashes. But when she frees the girls trapped within them, she finds that they're already dead with their wounds gouged out. Among them are girls who are part of the Offensive Reconnaissance Unit, like 1st Lieutenant Adira Shisen Shastri and 2nd Lieutenant Han Shen Mei. Even 1st Lieutenant Amandi Kabaki, who always competed with Ayusha for first place, is among the dead. They're all dead. Ayusha likely met the same fate. By now, she's probably a mangled corpse. Her senses, which are nearly scrambled from the deluge of information coming in from all over the space sector, finally detect a dozen or so special warfare troopers in another space sector off in the distance. Apparently, they fled from the terror of battle. But the two girls Minori cherishes more than anyone else aren't among them. Same day, 1458 Standard Space Time. After crushing the last FB, Minori finds there's nothing left around here. All the life around her is extinguished. Whether of CC or special warfare troopers, only the dead remain. They have all thoroughly killed and been killed. Having depleted her strength, Minori's massive force field fades. Why is Minori the only one? She can't redeploy it. Merely flying through space is taxing her at this point. None of them had to die! They didn't! I hate you, hate you, hate you! Yeah! Neither Nana, Alcia, or Rayon, or any of the other fallen special warfare troopers had to die here. If only the CC never came here! Minori gazes at it, her eyes burning with hatred. It is the only other creature still alive in the space sector, the Jewel Thief. It shines brightly, burning with brilliant life force. It slowly marches towards the cathedral, floating proudly through space like a distorted perversion of a gemstone. The terrible foe that forced even the hero Lizette to resort to moving the moon in order to defeat it. As Minori's force field flickers and wanes, her expanded senses sense the cathedral in the distance. It's only a matter of time before the cathedral enters the range of the Jewel Thief's beam attack, and once it does, mankind will be doomed. Once it destroys the cathedral, the Jewel Thief will cross the Pasta Tube and advance upon Earth. Mankind will be powerless to keep it at bay. But there should still be a way to stop it now. Minori refuses to give up. A single reckless idea comes to mind. She can't tell from this distance, but maybe if she can approach it and examine it more closely, she might be able to figure out a plan to get back at this thing. With that resolution in her heart, Minori approaches the Jewel Thief. With most of the CC flyers wiped out, she's able to cross the long distance without interruption. As she approaches the Jewel Thief, she can see that its blue, glowing central area is covered in what looks like a field of multicolored flowers. It reminds her of the surface of Paradise Lost, back when the CC organ was first implanted into her. Minori continues her descent, approaching the surface. The more she looks, the more it reminds her of Paradise Lost. An odd, high-pitched sound echoes through the space sector. The Jewel Thief swings its massive tentacles in Minori's direction. She narrowly evades them, changing directions again and again while trying to get even closer. But its attacks prevent her from doing so, almost like it's trying to swat away a fly. Despite its gigantic size, it moves nimbly. Its huge tentacles branch off into countless smaller tentacles, allowing it to sweep across a wide area. She managed to land on Paradise Lost before, though. No, that wasn't a landing. She crashed onto it. How's she gonna get past those tentacles? Right, it's all or nothing. She pulls away from the Jewel Thief for a moment, and then turns around and accelerates at once. She plummets towards it like a shooting star. Her gaze is fixed on a bit of its carapace on the edge of its bluish-white hole. Sensing the fly buzzing towards it, the Jewel Thief lifts a huge tentacle and swings it down towards Minori. She pushes a button. The sound of the disengagement buzzer rings in her ears. The force field around Minori disappears instantly. A moment later, the tentacle swings right past her sweat-drenched body. It's the buzzer device provided to the Offensive Reconnaissance Unit. Despite the countless hectic battles she's been through, Minori managed to hang on to it. Just like when they snuck past the CC lines earlier, she takes advantage of the fact that the CC are conditioned to recognize the special warfare troopers by their force fields. When their force fields are gone, the CC lose sight of them. As another CC, the Jewel Thief is no exception to this rule. It was a risky gamble to take, but it paid off in the end. Just before she's overcome by suffocation, she redeploys her special warfare gear. When the tentacles swing at her again, she disengages her gear and dodges once more. She rapidly approaches the surface. Minori turns to look. There are two special warfare troopers hiding on the edge of its carapace, just barely maintaining their gear. They're so well hidden within the giant aura of the burning life force of the Jewel Thief that even Minori with her massive force field couldn't detect them. Right before she crashes onto the Jewel Thief's surface, Minori reactivates her force field. Since she's been active in fighting since early morning, and has even manifested the Giant of Light, her strength is greatly depleted. Her force field is terribly feeble, so as soon as she lands, a powerful shock jolts through her. Minori just barely landed without sustaining any injury. She's on an uneven part on the edge of the carapace, shielding her from above. On the other side of that uneven ledge is the psychedelic garden that reminds Minori so much of Paradise Lost. Beyond that area is a place that shines with an ominous blue light. What? Thank God, you're still alive too. Yusha and Nana are there. Both of them look exhausted, but otherwise unharmed. Nana, Yusha, but how? Yusha cracks a feeble smile. I screwed up. I got chased around and cornered. When I got too close to this thing, it got me from behind with a huge tentacle and made my force field disappear. I saw it was shooting one more time, so I blocked it with magical wall. But I ended up falling here. After that, Yusha rang the buzzer, and I was all naked, so while I was panicking, I ended up crashing here. Don't say we crashed, we landed here. Didn't I tell you the only reason we were able to fool them is that I turned off our force fields? Yusha speaks warily, clearly looking unwell. But I saw a special enhancement gear device with Nana's name on it on one of the corpse's arms. One of the aliens might have pulled them all off of me, so I'm naked now. It started sticking its dick in me, and just when I thought it felt kind of good, I could transform again. Alicia's corpse probably picked it up after that. Ayusha, are you okay? You look kind of sick. I've been shooting non-stop since morning. My pussy and boobs feel all numb. I probably can't fight until my senses go back to normal. Minori always thought to herself that the possibility of numbness and paralysis was only a justification for the male officers to molest the girls, but apparently it was actually true. I know we'll be fine if the three of us are together. Objectively speaking, their odds of survival are despairingly low. G-14 might have regrouped, but they're isolated and stuck here of all places. Minori's missing the lower device of her special enhancement gear, and Nana's lost her whole set. Worst of all, Yusha's temporarily numb for using her powers too much. Yet, they feel that as long as they stay together, they have a chance to survive. But sadly, that's nothing more than wishful thinking. The three of them don't know it yet, but the Jewel Thief is moments away from having the cathedral in its beam's firing range. Same day, 1459, standard space time. And that's done! A giant, glowing fist bashed into a UMB straight on, crushing it to bits. Having turned into the Giant of Light, Lizette swept away all the CC flyers surrounding the cathedral. But a grim air continued to hang over the integrated headquarters. The Jewel Thief is as menacing as ever, with its massive form drawing larger and closer by the minute. By now, they can clearly see it on the monitor without having to zoom in. As their sensors can detect, there are only 5 veteran special warfare troopers left to fight it, including Lizette. There's no sign of the first years who were supposedly fighting around it. Deputy Commander Chan's corpse sits limply in his seat, his uniform dirty with blue blood and his expression blank. Do I need to take that thing out too? This carefree special transmission resonates in Cersei's mind. Huh? You have a way of stopping it, Lizette? Like last time, I just need to hit it really hard with something big. Oh there! I found something! A real big one! I just need to ram the cathedral into it! Brilliant, isn't it? You can't do that! Anything but that! Hey, don't scream in my head! Lizette's giant of light suddenly shrinks like a balloon that had all the air taken out of it. Moving to an unoccupied corner of the integrated headquarters, Cersei pulls out a portable terminal and calls someone. Is it gonna take much longer? They're breathing down our neck! I'm just entering the final stages. It'll take me about 10 more minutes. 10 minutes?! Based on how the Jewel Thief destroyed the projectiles they fired at it, that will be just barely before the cathedral is within its beam's range. Hey, Cersei, is the Missy not around? Huh? I mean, no one's cutting into my jokes, and why are our allies so weak? We can't fight like this. Cersei feels herself break into a cold sweat. Well, Conway was just, you know, worried about stuff on the moon, so she went back to Earth for a while. Really? Wait. So that means I have to write all the combat reports? No, what a headache. Cersei looks at her with a conflicted expression. Don't worry, I'll help you do it. Oh, I've got an idea. I'll just push and push that thing and just send it flying somewhere. Anyway, we're preparing an amazing new weapon right now, so don't do anything for the time being. Wow, a new weapon? That sounds freaking awesome. Same day, 1502 standard space time. Huh? Sensing something, Minori looks at the Jewel Thief's blue, glowing heart. It starts pulsating and glowing even brighter. Its pulse gradually accelerates as the light brightens to the point where it's almost blinding. Oh no, is it gonna fire that big laser again? The only thing it could be aiming at is the cathedral. This is bad. If it destroys the cathedral, mankind is finished. The Jewel Thief will cross the pasta tube and invade mankind's defenseless space sector. God damn it, we knew it was coming, so why did that fat fuck have to change our orders? Fat fuck. I mean the commander. He told me before that if David fails, we won't have a means of stopping it. And if that happens, he'll have to blow up the cathedral and destroy the pasta tube. Using the cathedral, the base that mankind sucked so many resources into, as an explosive, it seems just like a decision Commander Kinnison, who always declared he would consume anything and everything to win, would make. Oh no, but if he does that, we'll be stuck here too. He's not that stupid. He said he'd have us gradually fight and fall back and then retreat once the preparations to blow up the base are complete. As the blue light pulsates, large pillars that are as tall as buildings rise from its carapace, releasing spores from its slime mold-like surface.
Now,
But that fatso, he divided our forces and the veterans were dumb enough to listen to him. This is crazy. I'll never stop complaining once I get back to base. But if it destroys the cathedral, we'll all be dead and there won't be anyone left to complain to. I mean, yeah. You're right, but it's not like we can do anything here. Ah, keep your heads down. Minori and Yusha immediately heed Nana's warning. A single pyrus floats up from the spot reminiscent of Paradise Lost and passes over the girls and flies off above them. Same day, 1501 standard space time. Massive energy reaction detected in the Jewel Thief's aperture. The tactical mainframe's analysis states we can assume this is a sign that's about to fire its beam weapon. Cersei reads out the report with a shrill, nervous voice. Unrest fills the headquarters. The Jewel Thief is outside the range of the cathedral's X-ray-free electron laser. With both Commander Kinnison and Deputy Commander Chan dead, the chain of command has been disrupted multiple times during the crisis. The Chief of Staff, who now serves as their substitute, raises his voice. That's too soon! It's sooner than the estimations claimed it would be! But the tactical mainframe analysis says there's a 97.595% chance that this is a sign it's about to fire. But how's it gonna aim at us from this distance? It's too soon for it to have a clear shot at us. Based on how the Jewel Thief took 3 shots to destroy David, they concluded the Jewel Thief must be inaccurate at long distances. If it were to shoot at them from this distance, it would likely miss. Well, it fired 3 shots. Maybe it used them to align its sights? Yes, but the estimate accounts for that. Cersei, is the new weapon ready yet? That thing's kind of glowing. Whoa, I've never seen anything like this. It's pretty, so I'll go take a look. By the time Cersei realizes what Lizette was saying, she's already taken off. No, don't go! Same day, 1503 standard space time. Looks like they sent out 5 Pyrrhuses. Ayusha, who has the wildest detection range, whispers to them. Widest, not wildest. A thought occurs to Minori. The CC seemed to have a fixation with the number 5. FB groups usually consist of 5 units, and whenever they use multiple formations, they usually do it in multiples of 5. So if they sent 5 Pyrrhuses, it's likely they did it for some kind of tactical reason. Whatever they're doing now must have something to do with firing that powerful beam. The only units that were sent out were Pyrrhuses. In other words, they're not dispatching their flyers out on an attack. The Pyrrhuses supposedly function as commanders and intelligence gathering units. And the process of firing a beam weapon requires a great deal of information in order to successfully hit the target. If the girls attack the Pyrrhuses now and interrupt whatever they're doing, maybe they can halt the beam weapon's attack, or at least significantly throw off its aim. Let's get out of here. We have to let the cathedral know about this. Huh? But that's dangerous. We'll be fine. If this is like Paradise Lost, it should attack me on the way up. Right. I guess it isn't impossible. Once you confirm I'm not being attacked, you two try to get out of here. Minori's objective is to destroy the deployed priestesses. Pyrrhuses that are gathering intelligence for the incoming attack. If her assumptions are correct, the other two should be able to escape during the confusion. But what if you do get attacked? Then I'll distract the tentacles and you two can use that chance to escape. Nana and Ayusha can't hope to kill a Pyrrhus. Even when they were in their prime, they couldn't help to catch up to one, and at this point Ayusha can't even properly deploy her gear. The best thing they can do right now is prioritize their escape. No, I'm scared, but I'll take the job. I can take at least one hit. No, I'm the one who can't fight here. Let me handle it. The blue light's pulsations are accelerating. The nearby glowing towers shine blindly bright. It's definitely almost ready to fire. I can fly the fastest. I can fly the fastest out of the three of us, so I'm the most likely to successfully bait them away. That's all there is to it. Minori smiles at them. She's not lying at all, for she has no intention of dying. Fine, you're right, Minori. Ugh, I still don't like this, but if you say so, Ayusha. To ensure the jewel thieves won't detect the other two together with her, Minori made sure to walk a short distance away before flying off. She floats past the range of the massive tentacle, minimizing her force field in the process of slowly and carefully soaring up and away. The nearby tentacles branching off of it are like a forest of giant dead trees. Turning around, she sees the other two following her, their force fields also kept as weak as possible. They swiftly draw away from the jewel thief's surface. But right when she thinks they just might get away cleanly, something touches on Minori's expanded senses. A Pyrrhus! One of the units that took off earlier has detected her. They detected me, just like we planned. I'll distract them. You two, get away from here! Minori reaches for her swollen clit and starts tweaking it. She fully deploys her force field at once. Clad in her brilliant outfit, she soars up. Tentacles swing at her from all sides, but she nimbly dodges them. But even though she can avoid being directly hit by them, her first force field is still chipped away. Before long, Minori's special warfare gear is torn all over. Even so, Minori continues speeding away from her two friends. Stay away from me! Get the cathedral and call for help! Come at me, Cece, all of you, focus on me, I can still keep flying. Minori can sense the other two soaring away from her with her force field. At this rate, they'll be able to make a clean escape. As she flies, she sneaks her fingers downward, stimulating her clitoris with one hand and sticking a finger into her vagina with the other. Her Cece organ beats violently as her lower half is flooded with pleasure. Minori's force field swells up and burns like fire. Moving rapidly, she avoids the massive tentacles swinging down toward her while continuing to ascend. She flies directly beneath the Pyrrhus floating above her. I'm gonna come! Her gigantic flaming sword connects with the Pyrrhus, cutting it in half right down the middle. But just then, her special warfare gear flickers out. Minori can only float helplessly, imprisoned by Inertia's grip with the tip of a massive tentacle swinging right towards her. Minori! Ah! Ayusha fires Gugnir, evaporating the tip of the tentacle and saving Minori from death. But having exhausted the last of her strength, Ayusha's own special warfare gear disappears. Now the tentacles reach for her instead. Magical wall! That's not just a wall, that's a wall! Ah! Nana dies between them. The tentacle tosses her away, but her shield deflects the tentacle meant for Ayusha. With all her energy spent, Ayusha continues to fall powerlessly back to the surface of the jewel thief. Same day, 1504 Standard Space Time. Oh, great. Someone just cut off that alien. Go you. Oh, and that beam kind of reminds me of the way Missy fights. Closing in on the jewel thief, Lizette sees Minori's group fighting their desperate battle. Here comes the cavalry. Oh, and there's some aliens here, too! Lizette speeds up, swiftly slaying the two Pyrrhuses flying around the jewel thief. Right at the very moment, excuse me, right at that very moment, the Jewel Thief shorts, oh no, it's gonna do it! Right at that very moment, the Jewel Thief shoots forth a blinding white light. The massive energy reading detected! The monitor whites out. A moment later, the feeds from the sensors all black out in unison, completely overloaded. As darkness settles over the integrated headquarters, Cersei's scream pierces through the gloom. Ah, this can't be how it ends. Lizette, do something, please. Same day, 1504, standard space time. The aftershock of the massive energy blast sends Minori flying. Right after she just barely regains consciousness, she deploys her force field. But she's too weak. Her gear won't manifest properly. Soon enough, her naked form is yanked back down by the Jewel Thief's gravity. As part of the offensive reconnaissance unit, she's been fighting for nearly half a day since 03:30 in the morning. She hasn't even had a drink of water in all that time. Wow. It'd be one thing if she was merely flying around on patrol. Let me kind of redo that, guys. I want you to kind of get the idea here. As part of the offensive reconnaissance unit, she's been fighting for nearly half a day since 03:30 in the morning. She hasn't even had a drink of water in all that time. Think about that. It'd be one thing if she was merely flying around on patrol, but she's been actually fighting non-stop, one battle after another, launching attacks and dodging enemies. On top of that, she's been repeatedly disengaging and redeploying her special warfare gear the whole time. On top of that, she'd even manifested a giant of light. At this point, even her young body has finally passed its limits. Her skin has been repeatedly exposed to the vacuum of space. The arid vacuum makes her skin flake off. Her pale lips are chafed, cracked, and bleeding. Love's juices spill from her crotch, rapidly drying up and clinging to her skin. Her pubic hair clings to her labia, and her inner thighs are dripping with moisture. The only thing distinguishing her from one of the ravaged, raped corpses floating through the space sector is that her belly is visibly moving as she struggles for air. But for better or for worse, her relative state of inactivity hides her from the Jewel Thief's tentacles. She plummets down towards the Jewel Thief, almost like she's purposely following Ayusha. Same day, 1505 standard space time. Well, we're alive. Lizette must have saved us somehow. The sensors are back online. The cathedral only took light damage. 20% of our sensors are inoperable. The blue flash fired at the cathedral burned away several of the sensors spread out in a wide area around the cathedral. Although the massive wave of energy shook the cathedral as it passed by, it didn't hit the base. Another two flashes of light blasted through the cathedral's space sector after the first, but that was it. Because three of the Pyrrhuses sent out to help aim the beam weapon. Oh, wow. Because three of the Pyrrhuses sent out to help aim the beam weapon. That's not how that should be said. Because three of the Pyrrhuses sent out to help the beam weapon were slain. I guess you can say it like that. The Jewel Thief's shot was significantly off the mark. The massive energy reading from the Jewel Thief is gone now. It's estimated that it fired off all the energy it saved up. However, it seems to be recharging quickly. How long is it going to take to recharge? The tactical mainframe calculates that, assuming it continues recharging at the current rate, it should take about 7 minutes. A timer appears on the monitor, starting a countdown from 7 minutes. And how long until it gets into the range of the X-ray-free electron laser? 7 minutes and 25 seconds. It's slow. The gap between the two timers doesn't shrink. The 25 seconds between the two values are a fatal difference. Given how much closer the Jewel Thief will be by the next time it fires, it'll probably be able to aim directly at the cathedral without the Pyrrhus' support. But just then, Cersei's portable terminal vibrates. There's quite a ruckus up there. What's going on? Hearing his collective voice, Cersei says, I can explain later, assuming we're still alive. Is it ready yet? Oh yes, it's ready. I was just about to link up with you. Same day, 1505, standard space time. With her power almost completely depleted, Minori can't even control where she'll fall. She doesn't have the ability to direct her fall towards the Jewel Thief's carapace. She ends up falling into the area reminiscent of Paradise Lost. Just like Paradise Lost, which looks like a field of colorful flowers, turns out to be an amalgamation of ceaselessly undulating tendrils and indescribable fleshy organs. Sensing Minori's approach, the half-transparent shining tentacles spring up, pointing their tips at her. Due to their appearance, the full official name of the CC is the Cosmic Syn... The Cosmic Synodarians? They look like sea anemones or starfish from outer space. A single dazed thought crosses Minori's mind. Ah, the thing is gonna swallow me up. Perhaps from the sheer exhaustion, that's the only emotion in her heart right now. That's all that should have been there. But then, she sees her. Special warfare trooper drowning in the tentacles bordering the flower garden and the blue shining plains ahead. Her special warfare gear is half dissolved. Tentacles creep over her white skin, or fair white skin, and both her lips and genitals are being violated. Several tentacles fry her vagina open, burying the red folds within. A large number of tentacles are invading her flesh. This is one of the more colorful and beautiful age scenes I've seen. Her exposed pussy is swollen and inflamed from being churned and stimulated by the special enhancement gear since early morning. Each time the tentacles violating her squirm, her pale dripping body spasms from forced pleasure. Her eyes are glazed over. It's clear she's long since given up hope. She should have gotten away, so why is this happening? But no sooner than that, raging thought fills her mind as Minori's body begins to move. Even as she falls, she begins churning her erect clit. Churning it? Like butter? A moment before extending tentacles catch her, Minori's body lights up. Her force field, which has turned transparent and almost completely faded away, recovers and regains the form of her adorable special warfare gear. At that moment, Minori senses something eerie through her force field. The tentacles are chanting something at her like a song. Come, let's become one, it'll be wonderful. Come, let's become one, it'll be lovely. Come, let's become one, it'll feel good. An emotion that can only be described as passion washes over her in hot waves and envelops Minori, trying to sap her will to fight. Is this some kind of psychic attack from the CC? They're the enemy, she'll always reject them. Damn you, that won't work on me. Ayusha, I'm coming to save you! Ayusha's already being raped. At this rate, they'll pull out her womb along with a CC organ attached to it and kill her. But Minori won't let that happen. With that resolute desire burning in her heart, she shoves the eerie song out of her thoughts. Slashing through the tentacles reaching towards her with her flaming sword, Minori plunges forward. She doesn't know where her exhausted body conjures the strength from. She slashes through the swarming tentacles like a scythe sweeping through grain, cleaving her way through them. Even so, tentacles dripping with mucus draw towards her without end from every direction. Minori doesn't try to evade them. Instead, she cuts the approaching tentacles down with her force field sword, charging forward in the quickest, most direct path she can. Ayusha! 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 She always seemed so aloof when she was actually always so compassionate. She presented herself as clever and savvy when she was actually bashful and awkward. Her smart, dependable, beautiful Ayusha. Ayusha stands back up right in front of Minori. You came too, let's get out of here! Minori reaches her hand out to her comrade, and answering her, Ayusha's bare hand extends towards Minori, and fires out a blue flash of light. Taken completely by surprise, Minori can't defend herself. Minori was so overcome by relief that she failed to realize the tentacles were still inside Ayusha's privates. They were controlling her. Thankfully, the attack is feeble compared to Gungnir. All it does is blast away the force field garments and overload her special enhancement gear, forcing the devices to shut down and detach from her body. The attack knocks Minori unconscious for a few seconds, but she soon wakes up to the disgusting sensation of the tentacle garden she collapsed into. Not here! She reaches for her crotch, trying to reactivate her special warfare gear. As she pumps her fingers into both her anus and vagina, her CC organ flares up with lust. She redeploys her special warfare gear, but it's too late. Let go of me, you bastards! The swarm of tentacles rushes Minori, grabbing onto her limbs and forcing her legs open. The force field sword that surged up from her dissipates the split second before making contact with the tentacles. Come, let's become one, it'll be wonderful. Come, let's become one, it'll be lovely. Come, let's become one, it'll feel good. It feels like the eerie song is seeping into her very skin and resonating inside her body. Minori twists and thrashes in an attempt to break free from the swarm of tentacles, but no matter how much she reinforces her strength with her force field, a human's limited strength can't shake them off. Don't give up, I'm coming to save you. You dirty little, I won't lose. I'll never, ever give up. Her struggling makes her shapely sweat streak behind jiggle alluringly. The CC tentacles extend towards Minori's crotch, their tips flickering in a mesmerizing rhythm of blue lights. As if resonating with them, the force field protecting Minori's privates glows with a blue light before dissolving. Minori's lewd privates reveal themselves. If the CC Collective could remember things, they might have been surprised at the transformation her genitals went through over the last 7 months. Her once modest labia are now large and swollen. Her pussy looks as though it could accept anything, no matter how girthy and thick. Her already thick pubes have grown even thicker, showing off her ripened femininity. Her formerly innocent clit is now swollen, its vivid colors are easily visible through the bush of her pubes. Her lovely labia minora have matured and thickened, clearly protruding from her slit almost like how a tongue might lick a pair of lips at the prospect of sucking a cock. Even the folds of her butthole are bulging, like they're ready to accept a man. Contrary to Minori's attempts, look, all of that was hot, by the way. No, that's not what I'm supposed to be thinking, but that sounded fucking hot to me. Contrary to Minori's attempts to resist, all of those places are eager to accept the alien tentacles. With her lips bound, Minori is dragged in Yusha's direction. This golden chance arouses Minori's spirit. If she can just materialize her weapon here, she'll be able to escape with Yusha. Minori tries to focus on sexually arousing herself, but with her arms bound, she must purely rely on her imagination and memories. The first memory that comes to mind is when she was injected with drugs, restrained, and forced to swear to be the men's sex slave. No, I don't want to remember this! Minori tries to think of something else, but the more she tries to avoid thinking about it, the more memories of being a sex slave bubble to the surface of her thoughts. They teased her slave clit and made her submit. Callahan, the man she hates most, raped her with his large cock, imprinting that pleasure into her mind. What happened to Callahan, by the way? I don't remember anything happening to him. Like, the commander died, but I don't know what the hell happened to Callahan. I haven't heard from him in the longest. She remembers her 10 days of life as a sex slave. On each of those days, she was molested without end, used as nothing more than a sexual outlet for the men. Her body was forced to gleefully enjoy servicing a man she hates so much. Remembering this fills her with intense self-loathing. But those terrible memories do reactivate her CC organ. It throbs, filling her body with heat. Her vagina twitches and spews out love juices. I can't believe I'm getting off to remembering this. I'm still a slave at heart even now. No, I'm not. This is for Yusha. But just as she manages to get her force field, which is neutralized as soon as she created it, to once again flare up and take the form of a sword, Ayusha's belly swells up like she just swallowed a soccer ball, only to contract a moment later. A red lump surrounded by what looked like thick tubes emerge from her gaping vagina. It then unravels, unleashing tentacles that extend in all directions. No, what is that? No, not that! The thickest tentacle is thrust into Minori's slit, while a relatively smaller one forces its way into her anus. Minori screams, her petite body bending. The memory of Callahan and his friends raping her every hole rocks her mind. The overpowering memories of the men make her vagina salivate greedily, urging for something to fill it up, even if it's by force. My pussy and asshole are going crazy, she says. These are words that she'd been conditioned through emotional abuse and violence to say. No, it's not them. I have to save Ayusha. Don't go any deeper. Minori's pussy and ass clench up, not allowing her invaders to go any deeper. Don't poke me. No, I hate this, but it's going in. I'm getting carried away. She's completely helpless. Her pussy betrays her will, accepting the alien burrowing into it and happily guzzling up the pleasure it gives her. It's so thick, so why aren't I breaking? Ah, just break me already. No, I don't want this to feel good. Minori isn't the same person she was when she first came to the cathedral. The commander caused her body to become addicted to carnal pleasure, an addiction that was nurtured further by the devices of the special enhancement gear. After that, Callahan and his cronies shaped her into their slut. No matter how bravely she tries to conduct herself as a soldier, her body can't resist the allure of sexual pleasure any longer. It feels good. Ah, don't go any deeper, Ayusha. I don't want to, not like this. But why? Why does it feel so good? Minori's body swells up from the massive tentacle penetrating it. Her red, swollen folds wrap around the tentacle, desperately trying to accept it. Her clitoris stands erect, begging to be teased by the tentacles. Her love juices spill from between her vaginal walls and the tentacle. Ah, not this. I don't want to feel good while they rape me, tear up my belly, and kill me. I don't want to be helpless. Ah, I hate this, but... Her body burns up with pleasure, and yet her heart screams out in pain and anguish. I'm sorry, Ayusha. I can't save you. She feels the terrifying sensation of the thick tentacle's tip touching on her CC organ, and moves as if lapping it up, beginning to fuse with it. Again, it's saying, come, let's become one, it'll be wonderful. Come, let's become one, it'll be lovely. Come on, let's be one, it'll feel good. The eerie song quickly seeps into her heart. She feels her mind go numb and her will to resist melt away. No, I won't lose. I won't give up. Ah, it's so hot, my pussy's melting. She resists as hard as she can, but her body's already submitted. By now, she simply burns with desire and lust. The point of connection swells up and undulates. The CC organ extends tendrils out like a fungus, invading every corner of her body. It extends from her womb and the holy grail occupied by the CC tissue to her nerves and lymphatic system. Her entire body sizzles with heat. No, I won't give up, but my boobs! Welt-like swellings appear on Minori's adorable breasts, tracing along her mammary glands. They undulate as they approach the peak of her breasts. No, it's hot. It feels hot. Her dark areolae bulge up like saucers. Just as she realizes her nipples, which are already so erect they look like they might squirt out blood, are about to become even more swollen. No, there's milk coming out of my boobs. No, there's more coming out. White fluids gush out of her nipples. Minori's body twitches and spasms uncontrollably as she continues to squirt milk. See, let's become one. It'll be wonderful. See, let's become one. It'll be lovely. See, let's become one. We can become one. I don't want to lactate. It feels good. No, it feels hot. Ah, not again. I'm gonna go crazy. All of her special warfare gear below her waist has melted away. What remains of it only serves to decorate the sex pet she's become. She feels another strange transformation take place, this time around her violated asshole. Ah, my butt! Ah! She feels the area around her anus burn significantly hotter. What is that blue stuff? A numbing pulse throbs through the area, becoming stronger and stronger with every passing second. What's this? Ah, I'm scared. What are they doing to me? Of course, she can't understand what's going on inside her body, but she can tell that something is progressively invading her insides. See? Let's become one. It'll be wonderful. See? Let's become one. It'll be lovely. See? Let's become one. We can become one. It feels like something even more terrible than dying from having her womb dragged out is happening to her. Noticing a blue glow around her asshole, she sees that some kind of azure pattern has surfaced on it. And it doesn't feel like it was etched into her. It's like a pattern on an animal's body, something that feels like it's always been there since the day she was born. But to Minori's terror, see, let's become one. It'll be wonderful. See, let's become one. It'll be lovely. See, let's become one. We can become one. The sweet, paralyzing song washing through her heart gradually numbs her body. She loses sensation from the neck down. All she can feel is intoxicating pleasure. Ugh, I can't anymore. I'm melting, disappearing. I'm sorry, Yuusha. I'm sorry, Nana. I... Same day, 1511 standard space time. The blue light overflowing from the jeweled teeth spills from the edges of its carapace. Large protrusions reminiscent of translucent slime molds extend from it. The ray of destruction that will destroy this cathedral and eventually all mankind is about to fire off at any second. Sorry, guys. Minori! Yuusha! Minori! Yuusha! Nana screams at the top of her lungs, but no response comes from the jewel thief's blue, shining surface. Don't leave me all alone. You promised. You promised all three of us would make it. A hero's on the scene. Huh? Wait, you're... Nana's dumbfounded by the appearance of a familiar face who speaks in a voice too cheery to be suited to this despair-choked battlefield. I'm Lizette Agarwal. When you say hero, you mean me. Hearing those words, Nana finally realizes just who she's talking to. She used to see this woman every day on the screen showing UEF propaganda footage. The hero, Lizette Agarwal, the greatest hero in the history of mankind who saved the Earth during the lunar orbit battle, the guardian deity of the cathedral. Or at least so people think. In truth, she was nothing more than a crippled woman only useful for powering a combat machine and serving as a sex toy for the inspection committees. So why are you crying your eyes out? My friends! My two best friends! They crashed down there, but I can't save them on my own! You mean the girl who sliced up the aliens and the other girl who fires beams like the Missy? Right! Save them, please! You got it. Her tone is so frivolous that Nana can't help but become even more nervous. He's connected her with a new body. Well, how do you feel? Horrible, she replies. Some part of her refuses to move and she feels pretty awful overall. It doesn't feel like her body. It feels like a fake. It's like she's a lifeless corpse suspended upon strings. There's this horrible noise in her ears that rings all the way into her brain. While it's only a temporary solution I had to develop on the spot, the ingredient's residual aspects aren't properly suppressed, but I didn't make it so all the essential parts work properly. She can hardly move her body right now, but she can tell all the things she needs are working properly. Her eyes are fixated on the jewel thief. Her nose drinks in the scents of the space sector. It's all she needs. She tells him, you're very talented, and at the same time, you're the most terrible man alive. Dr. Rakashi grins. If it works, I'll add my finest brandy to your tea. I'm sure you can at least still taste the flavor of brandy. Same day, 1511 standard space time. A report just came in. The X-ray free electron laser is ready to fire. The staff officers who had all but admitted defeat start murmuring among themselves. What? But I thought they wouldn't be ready yet. Apparently the situation was urgent enough to make them skip a few procedures. The staff officers all turned their eyes to the chief of staff. Normally doing this would never be tolerated. Powerful weapons have to be handled carefully. History has shown time and time again that skipping past established procedures results in catastrophic accidents. But right now, they're in a state of absolute crisis. Commander Kinnison and Deputy Commander Chan are both out of commission, leaving the Chief of Staff as their replacement. He gazes at the timers ticking down on the integrated headquarters monitor. 33 more seconds until the CC beam weapon fires at them. They don't have time to spare for proper procedures. The jewel thief on the screen is close enough for them to see it without having to zoom in, its glowing blue eyes clearly visible. Do it! Aim for the jewel thief's center! Roger that! We have permission to fire! Begin the final countdown! Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire! A blue flash fills the monitor. The incalculable amount of released energy causes the cathedral's sensors to overload. But how are you going to save them? I'll do anything. I mean, anything I can do to help? Well, you just watch. I'll go in, save your two friends, and come back. You'll have the best seat in the house. I mean, I've already done this before. That only makes Nana all the more nervous. Is the so-called hero serious? Doesn't she understand the situation? I'll come with you. They're my friends after all. Oh, yep, you gotta cherish your friends. Fine, come with me. But then a flash of blue blasts through the darkness of space. The space sector buzzes like the void itself is somehow boiling over. Nana screams in terror, but Lizette envelops her with her powerful force field, shielding her from damage. That was cool. So that's the new weapon, huh? Good going, mankind. Wow. Same day. 1511 standard space time, 52 seconds later. The beam fired from the cathedral hits the jewel thief directly in its core, right where all of its energy is building up. The blast rips straight through it, penetrating so far that it emerges from the other side. Blue fluids gush out of its penetrated core like blood spraying into the space sector. Whoa, they did it! Immediately after, a second shot and a third hit the jewel thief. Cracks run through its carapace, causing more blood to pour from its body. The spear begins to fall apart. Minori! Ayusha! Nana impatiently jumps out of the protection of Lizette's force field. Whoops, I forgot. I said I'll handle this, so I gotta get to work. Lizette blitzes past Nana in the blink of an eye and unflinchingly descends onto the jewel thief's crumbling surface. Just then, another laser shoots through the jewel thief, causing an explosion. This attack was fatal. Its blue section swells up and glows as pressure from within begins to crack the carapace from the inside out. The jewel thief's dying cry echoes through the space center. Sector, not center. The blue slime mold-like towers on its surface lose their power and blow up, making the blue spear of light even larger. The jewel thief looks more like a small planet on the verge of exploding. Ah, no, don't blow up yet! Nana musters all her strength to get as close as she can, but fragments of the carapace whiz through the air, stopping her. The blue sphere of light swells up, seething like a sun, only to become a gigantic azure fireball. As the flames continue to surge up, the spear finally explodes. As the blue light fades, the space around her regains its black color. Yep, you're right. A hero never dies, so you don't have to worry. Nana turns her eyes towards the voice in disbelief just as the hero floats up to greet her. Enveloped in her force field are two naked women. Both of them have had their special enhancement gear completely removed and their skin is covered in vivid marks of being savagely raped. Their vaginas are gaping open as a result of the large masses that were forced into their bodies. But they're visibly, albeit faintly, breathing. There's a lot of odd last-minute shit I don't understand in this. They're alive! They're both alive! Whoa! They're alive! What do they call that? Deus Ex Machina. A lot of Deus Ex Machina moments where they just have somebody make it at the nick of time. They kept their promise. All three of them survived. Of course they are. I'm a hero after all. Lizette grins at her. Okay. Wow. I think we're finally done with that. August 25th, 2109. 1526 standard space time. It's actually not too far from the date it is right now, except, you know, a couple hundred years off, but, you know. Lizette Agarel makes her triumphant return to the cathedral, having rescued two special warfare troopers. Yeah, because today'd be the 24th. So all that shit happened, well, I don't know. I can't remember, is that July? No, I think it was August. Lizette Agarel makes her triumphant return to the cathedral, having rescued two special warfare troopers. This draws the curtain on what is officially designated the 2109 Space Sector Battle number 309. This battle would go on to be referred to as the 2109 Crisis and the final battle of the Special Warfare Trooper Corps. 19 veteran Special Warfare Troopers and 31 first-year Special Warfare Troopers deployed to this battle. And the tragic result of that battle was that only 6 of the veterans and 14 of the first-year survived. In addition, 25 of the base's mail service officers and 32 media staff were killed. Hopefully Callahan was one of the mail service officers, right? This event would go down in human history as the single most gruesome battle to ever take place in the cathedral. She hears a voice. Oh, wow. Come back to us. Let's become one. It'll be wonderful. Come back to us. Let's become one. It'll be lovely. Come back to us. Let's become one. It'll feel good. It's probably beckoning her to return to existence. But she ignores the voice. Even as it continues to drone on, she pays it no heed. She once again brushes away the hand reaching out for her. For a moment, she becomes aware that there had been a poison capsule within her grasp all along. But in the end, everything worked out splendidly. Ah, Lizette is wonderful. She hasn't seen her in so long, but she can only think of Lizette as lovely when she looks like that. Just looking at Lizette makes her heart throb with excitement. It terrifies her. What if she ever stops feeling that excitement? The throbbing excitement is part of what makes her who she is. The day she stops feeling it is the moment she stops being herself. And yet, she still managed to hold on to herself. So long as she can do that, she will not return to the existence. She won't join with it. She doesn't want to. After all, everything turned out well. It was, in fact, a frighteningly perfect outcome. She stopped Minion 1 from rebellion, and all of its pawns, save for 3, were removed by the existence. The remaining 3 were seized by her. The 3 members of G-14 who are a threat to the plan will be dealt with. Minion 5 being as useless as... What? Being as useless, it wasn't something she accounted for, but she was able to stick to the script despite that. She was able to experiment with her new body, and the result was satisfactory. Once it's fully completed, she should be perfectly capable of erasing the existence. But since she had to go into combat so suddenly, a few defects ended up popping up. She likely won't be able to activate it until next year. As long as she can deal with that, though, she won't need to do battle again at all before it's completed. Even with Minions 1 and 5 dealt with, she and Lizette can handle everything. So long as she has Lizette, she needs nothing else. All that remains is to gather more ingredients and make them a part of her body. It won't be long until everything is achieved. Then, she'll always be together with Lizette. To celebrate her new body's successful trial, her collaborator served her tea with brandy. She didn't much like drinking alcohol, but at least she can taste its flavor. And that makes her oddly pleased. She's trapped in a dark, sealed space where even a single speck of light isn't allowed to intrude. The place reeks of the kind of body odor that only builds up after days of not bathing, of urine and excrement. She has no choice but to expel the aroma of a sexually excited woman, the suffocating scent of smegma, almost like the smell of spoiled milk. Saliva dribbles from the gag in her mouth, rolling down on her neck and chest. Its moist smell fills her nostrils. The scent of something else entwines itself with the scent of her spit. Something that smells almost dry. Almost smells dry, rather. All those scents jumble together in her mind. Minoru Iizuka's CC organ pulsates as if resonating with the throbbing of her heartbeat. With her eyesight blocked, her other senses grow more keen. Each time she tries to shift out of her numbing position, her folds make a wet squelching sound as love juices spill from her womanly cleft. Her congested nipples and clit throb like they have a pulse of their own, and both her breasts and her abdomen give off the hot scent of a female in heat. The only things keeping her from masturbating furiously are the bindings around her limbs. She hears a voice from beyond the stagnant darkness. Come, let's become one. It'll be wonderful. Come, let's become one. It'll be lovely. Come, let's become one. It'll feel good. Like the cherubic whispering of a child, the voice washes over her like the unending tide, rolling and receding over her. It's far too clear to be an auditory hallucination. Minori must have been like this for days, weeks, maybe even months. Her memories are too hazy for her to piece them together. After she was rescued alongside Ayusha, Minori was treated more shamefully than cattle being stuffed into a shed. She was left naked. Her arms and legs were bound, while a gag was forced into her mouth to prevent her from committing suicide by biting her own tongue. She was forced to her knees and then packed into a tight space. In her delirious state, her eyes see the CC appear before her, intending to rape her. The CC then changed shapes non-stop. Sometimes they're Callahan, other times they're Ayusha, and sometimes they're a nondescript monster with a body that amounts to little more than a penis. And once she thinks she escapes that fate, men in gray appear. They claim to be questioning her, but that's simply an excuse to torture her. Once they finish with that, they put her back in her cell. And then it happens again and again. One nightmare leads to another, which only leads to yet another nightmare. And between those sessions, what feels like scraps of food are forced into her mouth gag. This must be their way of feeding her. Her interrogators force her to drink their urine for liquids. If she needs to relieve herself, she has to urinate and defecate in the darkness. During torture, her so-called interrogators let her bladder swell up to the point where her distended belly makes her look as though she's pregnant, only to stomp on her stomach and force her to piss and shit herself in front of them. She was only able to endure that a few times before something broke inside her bladder. Now she can no longer hold it in, meaning she pisses uncontrollably in the darkness. She's never once allowed to shower. She's going crazy. She's going mad. If only she could let her sanity slip that much faster. But that humble, desperate wish is enough to let Minori's mind descend to blissful ignorance. Is Ayusha alright? What about Nana? What happened to the cathedral after that? No one tells her anything, and her desire to know taunts her all the more. An explosion of light dazzles her. Pain burns through her scalp as someone grabs her forcibly by her hair. Minori is dragged out of the darkness, her body covered in filth and excrement. Her handcuffs, shackles, and gag are removed, but after being left in an unnatural position for so long, she can't move properly. Not that it would matter, because she's soon forced into another device that locks her limbs in place, just in a different way. An interrogation begins. Another session of merciless torture. She's constantly being asked things she knows nothing about. They ask the same things as always. Did you know that Ayusha was a CC? You were placed under her influence so you could sabotage the base, weren't you? Who are your other comrades? How did you contact each other? I don't know. About any rebellions. Ayusha would never think of doing that. Please, let me see Ayusha and Nana. She gives them the same answers as always. It feels like she said this multiple times, dozens of times, hundreds of times already. The people questioning her are different, but she can't distinguish their faces in any case. Those ashen shadows look no different from the mangled, profane corpses the CC sent against them. No matter how many times Minori answers their questions, her interrogators' features remain contorted in hatred. Their faces are like eerie death masks. We know everything already, they say. Just talk already. Admit to everything. They mockingly ignore Minori's questions, saying they can't link human intelligence to a CC. I am not a CC. I'm First Lieutenant Minori Azuka, serving in the UEF Special Warfare Trooper Corps. She has no other answers to offer. She's not a CC. It's all a misunderstanding, a mistake. If they'd inspect her, they'd just inspect her, they'd see that. But her interrogations only talk as if it's given that Minori Azuka must be a CC. Between her sleep deprivation and their ruthless, incessant violence, she falls unconscious a few times, but whenever she does, they punch, kick, and splash her with water before resuming their questioning. They kick her sensitive pussy and nipples, making her squirt love juices from her pussy and milk from her breasts. She falls unconscious again and again, only to be jolted awake over and over. The questioning resumes. After multiple bouts of fainting, the thread of her consciousness snaps. Minori stops thinking. This time, her fading mind is only dragged back to reality by an odd noise. Her own body stench is mixed with the scent of milk. She's probably stimulated again, which made her squirt more milk. Her eyes turn to the eerie noise, only for her gaze to settle on a disc-shaped blade spinning rapidly. An ashen interrogator looking down at Minori says something. "We will now sever your limbs." With her mind exhausted and her intellect numb, Minori can't understand what he's saying. Oxygen and food are precious commodities in outer space. We cannot waste them on inhuman abominations like you. So we remove everything but the organs you need to speak. It feels like she's doomed to meet a terrible fate. ACC does not need human limbs to begin with, and since you're not human, you don't need anesthetic either. The ashen man nods, bringing the revolting blade toward the base of Minori's leg. As it mercilessly swings down, I'd appreciate it if you didn't needlessly ruin a precious sample. When Minori next awakens, she's lying on the cold, hard floor. She's naked, but her emotions are too numb for her to feel any shame at this point. If anything, the fact that she's free of any handcuffs, shackles, or gag almost feels foreign to her. Her body's joints do ache like before, mostly because she was sleeping on the hard floor. But it seems that CC and Callahan didn't rape her this time, so her consciousness is clearer than it's been in a long while. A large rubber hose connected to a valve is coiled up like a serpent in the room's corner. Its nozzle gives off a metallic glint. Minori looks around fearfully. She looks at the glinting bars for a few moments, but she eventually loses her patience and lunges for the hose valve. When she turns it, nothing seems to happen at first. No water comes out of the hose, though it does seem to harden and swell up. Only then does she notice that the end of the hose is capped with a nozzle. She grabs it and opens it, allowing cold water to finally gush out. Minori pushes her face into the water jet. The water gushes out forcefully enough for it to be painful against her cheeks, but she doesn't care. She gulps down the water. The cold water pleasantly fills her body. Never has she tasted a sweeter liquid in her life. Never before has water tasted so good. Her guard, which has been raised when she first woke up, gradually lowers as her actions become bolder. She gargles, rinsing her mouth and throat. Then she washes her body, which is soiled with grime and sweat, then finishes by holding it high above her, letting the water roll down from head to toe. Her skin, which was filthy with sweat and filth, finally regains its luster and softness. It feels like she's come back to life and that everything before now is just a bad dream. Minori can't help but arch her drenched back. The spray of water hit her swollen clit by accident at first, but now Minori continues to let it pour over that sensitive spot. Why does this feel good? No! Her vagina is being stimulated by the cold water, forcing lustful moans from her lips. She does not need to wash this spot too, after all. That's the excuse Minori makes to herself. She turns her back to the room's corner and sits with her legs flared wide. She opens her slit with her fingers, bringing the nozzle to her vagina. She's lost her mind. My clit's so hard, I have to wash here too, but I have to stop now, but I should wash it some more. The water gushing against her folds is enough to make Minori cry out with lust. This water feels so good, it doesn't make any sense. But it's good, so good, it's good. She aims the nozzle from below, then from above, spraying her clit from different angles. Before long, she spreads her anus and sprays against there too. The water's fucking up my dirty asshole too. It's so strong. My clit feels so good too. Gonna come. Minori is so caught up in masturbating with the water from the hose that she can't stop until she climaxes. She lies face up on the hard floor, exhausted and breathing heavily. The realization of how obscene she was just was finally sinks in. Her body's cold from the water, but her nipples and genitals burn hot. Even washing out her privates in cold water did nothing to extinguish that fire. If anything, any touch whatsoever seems to stroke it higher. She's a shameless woman with sensitive nipples and a roused clit who came from masturbating with a hose. It fills her with self-loathing. It's no wonder Callahan and his group made her into their slave back then. The moment that thought crosses her mind, she remembers that she needs to meet with Callahan in the men's residential block. If she doesn't, then they'll do to Nana what they did to her. She wobbles to her feet. But Minori has no idea where she is. She grabs onto the bars and tries to shake them, but they don't give way. Her anxiety only heightens. Oh, you're awake, 14-1. Phew, I thought you'd sleep for a while longer. An out-of-place, carefree voice calls to her. Dr. Fakashi approaches the bars. My, I suppose such are the perks of having a young body. After all you went through, 18 hours of sleep are enough for your body to regain its complexion and resilience. Or maybe it's the result of the CC fusion. Quite fascinating. Though I must admit, I haven't gotten much sleep yet myself as of late. I've just gotten so many samples, merely sorting them is a Herculean task. I wish I had your stamina. The Indian doctor shows no signs of scorn or enmity. His eyes simply glow with curiosity. Minori immediately blurts out. Please let me out of here. I have to go somewhere right now. I have to be there as soon as I come back from battle. While her tone is serious, her moist, wavering eyes have a coquettish light within them. Her skin has a seductive, alluring blush to it. I doubt you have anywhere you need to go right now, but yes, I do have the authority to free you from this place. That much is true. But before I do that, there's many things I need to explain and inspect with regards to you. I'll do anything you say later. You can inspect me all you want then. Please, let me out now. Let me ask something for clarity's sake. By return to battle, do you mean you return from the Great August Invasion? That's right. If I don't go, a good friend of mine will... Dr. Bokashi cuts her off with an apologetic expression. Yes, and I'm afraid that's not something you can do. Today's date is September the 9th, 2109. Nearly half a month has passed since then. By then, I mean the Great August Invasion. Minori is speechless. The Nana is... She's been put through the same abuse as her. I think whoever was waiting for you couldn't possibly have been patient enough to wait for you that long. September the 9th. Have you calmed down? Seeing how dispirited she's become, Dr. Bokashi took Minori out of her cell and led her to the lab where he poured her a cup of tea. The tea's warmth spreads through her cold body. Minori nods briefly to him. Then let's begin with your current position. You are no longer considered a soldier or military personnel. All of your human rights are currently suspended. Huh? What does that mean? Well, it means exactly what it sounds like. I could torture you or dissect you alive, even kill you, and I would face no repercussions for doing so. The doctor replies smoothly as he sips on the tea, enjoying its aroma. Well, I'm at least relieved they were prudent enough not to leave any lasting marks or kill you before you went to sleep just now. But that can't be. Minori tries to remember, just now, or rather 18 hours ago, before she fell asleep, she was being tortured. In the end, they tried to saw off her limbs. If nothing else, those men in gray clothes seem to treat her like the doctor described. The Indian doctor awkwardly operates a portable terminal, projecting a hologram over the inspection table. It shows Minori's naked body without sparing her modesty in the slightest. Everything is visible, including her erect nipples, thick bush, and swollen clit. Minori nearly says something in complaint, but she realizes that's how she truly looks. When she realizes that's how she truly looks, her face goes red. Look, this is what you look like on the inside right now. Her hologram skin turns transparent, showing her internal organs and nervous system outlined in red. All of them have what look like green threads coiled around them. In certain places, her red outline organs and nerves are even fusing with the invasive threads. Large green lumps seem to gather around clusters of her nerve endings like grapevines, especially around her mammary glands or under her skin and within her clitoris. The biggest cluster is inside her uterus. Her CC organ, even within the hologram, it visibly pulsates. CC cells are merging all around your body. Your nervous system, your internal organs, your bone marrow, literally your entire body below the neck. She does recall feeling a vague, eerie feeling on Paradise Lost, like something invaded her body. In other words, you're being regarded as a CC, and there's proof of it. The doctor awkwardly operated his portable terminal again. Her hologram skin becomes visible once again before it rotates, showing her back to them both. That can't be! I'm human. I'm Minori Iizuka, First Lieutenant in the Special Warfare Trooper Corps, G-14's Vanguard. There's something unfamiliar on her hologram, a blue, glowing pattern over Minori's backside surrounding her rectum. There is this blue pattern around Uranus. Having one's body tissues glow blue is a physical characteristic of the CC. He then switches over to another image. It shows Minori suspended by a device that fixed her limbs in place, and zoomed in on her backside, and indeed the same pattern is on it. The eerie mark shines with blue like some kind of luminescent deep-sea creature. So yes, you're currently considered part of the CC now, which makes you an extremely dangerous creature. Minori can't believe it. How can she accept this?
I'm not an alien!
Take that back, I'm not an alien. How dare you insult me by putting me on the same level as those things? Minori lunges at him in anger. His beaker full of tea drops from his hand to the floor, but the Indian doctor doesn't seem to resist her. He only shrugs. You probably are human. After all, your brain is still completely human. In that regard, I do believe you're a human being. I'm sorry. Minori comes to her senses. She lets go of him and hangs her head. Well, it's understandable. Anyone would be outraged at being called an alien. Then again, given past cases, even if the infestation extended to your brain, you'd likely react the same way. Past cases? No! You're a very precious sample. The first example of an infested human where the infestation doesn't extend all the way to their brain. To that end, I need you to remain alive and well so I can observe how it affects you over time. And what happened to the other cases? On the surface, they remain exactly as they were before being infested. You could say it's like running the same software on different hardware. Yes, I think that metaphor fits. But over time, the subjects begin exhibiting changes. They lose their sense of taste, for example. The hardware of the body begins exerting influence on the software that is the mind. But it's possible that they were still human, despite those changes. What defines a human indeed? It's an intriguing notion. The doctor truly looks fascinated. Be that as it may, in most cases the disposal is only delayed for a day at worst, and a month at best. Observations don't last that long for the most part. Science can be very cold in that regard. Minori realizes that the CC must have infested the brains of a few special warfare troopers in the past. All of them were killed. But you are the first sample I've gained in some time that might not have to be disposed of. I expect a great deal from you. It really drives the point home that this doctor is only relatively kind to her because of her value as a sample. The only future in store for her is one rife with despair. She'll be observed until the doctor gets tired of her and disposed of if she tries to rebel. Not even death will preserve her human dignity, as they will tear her corpse to bits for use in research. But Minori has a reason to cling to life. She won't choose death. I'll do anything you say, but at least let me see First Lieutenant Ayusha Petrovna and Second Lieutenant Nanaki Saragi. Those two matter to her more than anything. The doctor taps at the terminal in his hands again. Ayusha Petrovna, Nanaki Saragi, 14-3 and 14-2, yes? Oh, I see. Unusually enough, the Indian doctor frowns. 14-3 is, the other sample is quite the gruesome state. I swear, some amateurs just don't understand science. I can't let you meet her, but I can show you the state she's in. Minori nods briefly. The hologram switches over to another image. At first, Minori can't recognize what she's looking at. She doesn't want to acknowledge it. The figure is held up, restrained against the laboratory wall. Its right eye is missing, its left breast severed. Its left arm is brutally amputated from the shoulder down. Its one remaining eye stares blankly into space. What is this? This is 14-3. Right, you were part of a trio. I think you were probably the closest group of friends out of all the girls here. Her abdomen is clearly cut open and then stitched shut. What she's looking at are merely the remains of a human body hung up like a side of meat in a butcher's freezer. And yet, this is Ayusha. She seems to just barely be breathing. But she looks completely and utterly invalid. Or invalid, rather. I intended to take her under my care, too, but I've been so busy recently I hadn't had the time to make arrangements for it. She's a dangerous specimen. The CC have infested her brain, and what's more, she's charged with trying to perform acts of terrorism against the cathedral. The military police are looking into it, but their interrogation is basically torture. That's murder! They murdered her! Why did they murder Ayusha? How could they do this? Because they don't see 14-3 as human. If she were under my care, she wouldn't have been so thoroughly broken. Ayusha always helped Minori so much. She always knew what to do. She always tried to make herself look dependable, cool, and collected, when deep down she was an affectionate softie. The doctor gives her an awkward look. Oh, you don't have to cry like that. I'll try to place her under my care. She's probably harmless in this state. Thank you. If nothing else, he does seem to genuinely want to research her. Just don't expect too much. I don't deserve much thanks. Well, I suppose you do thank me for it, but that's just in your nature, it seems. It's a good thing I took you in as soon as I did. Oh, and as for 14-2, she's fine. She wouldn't come in for inspections, but she did approach me a few times asking if you were here. A grand sense of premonition weighs down Minori's heart. If she doesn't come to the doctor for inspections, it means she's letting the men handle the inspections for her. Callahan is using her as a slave in Minori's stead. All those freaking corpses, and they killed a bunch of officers, but they didn't get Callahan? Come on, now. Now, personally, I'm quite... How did Callahan remain unscathed during all this shit? I really don't know. Now, personally, I'm quite curious to see if you can still perform as a special warfare trooper. Out of all the specimens in your state, you're the most functional. Huh? Really? The doctor's words cast a ray of shining hope on her gloomy heart. She can still fight, she can be a soldier, and Nana's still alive and so is Ayusha. So long as all three of them are alive, things can go back to the way they used to be. I don't think that's something to rejoice about. Things have changed in the cathedral in the time it took for me to get you. Okay, well, I think we could do another 10 minutes. I'm just thinking about that fucking Callahan. I don't know, but Metalogic needs to write me a fucking essay and tell me how Callahan survived. I want to know exactly how he survived the Great August Attack. Why did the fucking commander die? The other guy shoot himself? The CC break into the men's barracks? Kill a fucking shitload of senior officers, but Callahan survived. How in the fuck? Where's the... It's like... All of a sudden, they're gonna get like an email that's gonna be translated in bad Japanese. Callahan! August... How? It's like, what? It's like, we knew we shouldn't have brought this game over. It's like, you motherfuckers! That doesn't make any sense at all! How is Callahan still alive? That motherfucker should have been killed with all the other guys in the men's barracks. That's literally where fucking thing went. Upon awakening, the first thing Minori Iizuka sees is a shabby cell. She feels the hardness of the floor press against half her body. It's a small chamber that has had heat-insulating material sprayed over its walls and floor. It has no bedding nor anywhere to sit. Even if the room temperature is high enough to be comfortable, having to live in this room is humiliating. The stench of excrement hangs in the air, wafting from the simple toilet within the room. All of her excrement is preserved for collection and inspection. She's nothing more than a sample, with all her human dignity stripped away. Looking at this room causes what feels like claws to rake across Minori's heart. It doesn't end there. With the exception of the monitoring collar she's forced to wear at all times, she's completely naked. The rest of the base's staff all carry portable terminals that let them activate the suppression function of her collar voice print authentication. It was one thing to be forced to walk around in only her special enhancement gear back then, or even get molested while naked before the male officers, but something about the addition of the collar is unbearably humiliating. After washing off the sweat from her body with water from the hose, she's given her meal. Said meal is a mere clay-like lump of synthesized nutrients that weren't even fashioned to anything resembling actual food stuff. It's less like food and more like animal fodder. But given the harsh things she knows she can expect ahead of her, Minori stifles her emotions and forces the meal down. September 9th, 2109. On this day, the base's temporary commander, Leo Eldritch, announced the base's policy with regard to sample 3098, formerly known as Minori Iizuka. His decision is seen as a major deviation from the usual fate of humans infested by CC. It is considered to be a magnanimous act of clemency. Instead of being cold, as is often the case, she was given a stay of execution due to her value as a precious sample. Following that, two options were presented before her. She was to either continue to be treated as sample 3098, or be reinstated as a special warfare trooper by the name of Minori Iizuka. If she were to continue life as a sample, she would not be executed so long as Dr. Bokashi does not decide otherwise. Given the Doctor's personality, it would be unlikely for him to ever make such a decision. Despite this, Minoru Iizuka chose the latter option. Iizuka chose to be reinstated as a special warfare trooper. Because of her choice, harsh and cruel duties have been placed upon her. In order to be reinstated as Minoru Iizuka, the special warfare trooper, sample 3098, is given a stay of execution of 20 days until the last day of September. During that period, she must present proof that she is not a CC. In other words, she must show that she is completely harmless and obedient to mankind during those 20 days. Minori knows full well what kind of treatment she can expect on this base. Every man in this place would treat her as a fuckhole. Her experiences during the month of August have taught her all too well, that if men know a woman is incapable of resisting, they will do anything and everything to her. Even so, Minori accepts this treatment for multiple reasons. Firstly, she knows that her CC infestation doesn't extend to her brain, meaning there is no security-related reason to justify this attitude. On top of that, Nana's still alive. She must be worried about Minori. To answer those feelings, Minori wants to remain by her side, not as a sample, but as her fellow special warfare trooper. Most of all, by returning to active service, she can prove there's a way for Yusha to be freed from her terrible torture and restored to her position again. The only thing hanging on the wall of Minori's cell is a UES Special Warfare Trooper Corps uniform. It represents a towering goal she aspires to achieve. After eating, Minori rinses her mouth and puts on the Special Warfare Trooper Corps uniform. When she contacted Cersei and asked for special permission to be allowed to wear it, her request was granted. She straightens her uniform, does up her hair, and fixes her appearance. No matter what happens yet, next, she won't let go of her faith that she's a Special Warfare Trooper.
Yes!
Let's go! So begins Minori's 20-day battle to be returned to her position as Special Warfare Trooper. The sound of repairs can be heard from all over the male officer's residential block. The doctor told her that during last month's attack, the CC severely damaged the block and slaughtered many of the off-duty male officers. The current air conditioning system was a temporary one. The air within the block's halls felt tinged with the chill of space. Minori's heart swells with anxiety. She isn't here alone. Since she's suspected of being a CC, she isn't allowed to move about the base unsupervised. As such, Callahan is serving as her warden. Given his past treatment of her and her inability to resist him in her current state, she assumes he'll be sure to toy with her by himself. But on the way here, he not only did not do anything to her, he didn't so much as say a word. He refused to even meet her gaze. It wasn't that she actually wanted to talk with or even look at this bigoted racist. Wow. If she could have her way, she'd never hear his vulgar voice again. But his abrupt change of attitude gave her a bad, ominous feeling. Still, she can't imagine him treating her any worse than he did back when he called her his sex slave. Gentlemen, a few of the men stop working and turn to look at Callahan. Their gazes are heavy with exhaustion. This is our new sexual relief station. Minori consciously suppresses her desire to say anything. She doesn't know what action or words might be considered defiance. This thing is also 90% alien. Speaking to her is akin to leaking information to the enemy. It might look human, but it isn't. Minori can't help but glance at Callahan's face. His expression looks wooden and serious. She can't see any trace of the usual leering lust he usually expressed. A few of my buddies were killed by those bastards. They might not have been the most decent guys I've ever met, but they certainly didn't deserve to die like that. The men look at Minori, their eyes burning with hatred. Though she never spared it much thought before, surely even these vulgar, crass men know of friendship and camaraderie. At the slightest hint of danger from this thing, activate the suppression device at once, like this. A powerful electrical current runs through her collar, sending a merciless shock through Minori's body. Her mind and thoughts go white from the pain. This is the collar suppression function. Not only does the collar constantly transmit her current position, it can also electrocute Minori to immediately restrain her. CC cells are highly responsive to electricity. With her high degree of infestation, the shock is even more effective than it would be to a normal human being. Minori's knees wobble. She nearly topples to the floor, but Callahan grabs her by the hair and drags her back up. Okay, if electricity harms them, then how can that thing make a laser beam? Like the jewel thief? Yeah, that doesn't make any sense if it would harm them and be really damaging to them that they can use that power to make a laser beam. Sorry, a lot of the mythos is falling apart. Anyway, she nearly topples to the floor, but Callahan grabs her by her hair and drags her back up. Her carefully done hair from before is ruined, and more than a few hairs are torn out by their roots. Still holding her by her hair, Callahan intentionally shakes her to make sure she hurts her even more. As you can see, the suppression device can render the shitty alien powerless with just one jolt. It packs one hell of a punch. Just don't use it when one of us is using the sexual release station. The electric shock could stun them, too. The men don't even laugh. Callahan pulls Minori up by her hair again before plucking the button from her uniform top, baring her breasts. Although she was given a uniform, she wasn't given a bra. Her plucky nipples reveal themselves proudly, exposing her arousal. However, Callahan doesn't spare her another glance, instead forcefully turning her face towards the wall. Open your legs and stick out your ass, and spread your rotten pussy open so as humans can see everything. Her heart urges her to resist, but she knows that doing so will mean they'll electrocute her at best, order her execution at worst. If that happens to her, Yusha's slim chance of being reinstated as a special warfare trooper will vanish too. Minori has no choice but to obey. She bites her lip, swallowing her humiliation. She then parts her legs and lewdly thrusts out her buttocks at the men. She pulls down her stockings and panties, traces her labia with her fingers, and then uses both hands to spread her pussy open. The cold air of the men's residential block blows into her steaming vagina. Okay. And, yeah, I'm gonna stop here. So we're gonna jump right in with an H scene. And that H scene won't come till a little later because Blasphemous 2 is coming out and I kind of want to play a little bit, you know, tomorrow before I go to bed. So I got to do comics also. So I got to do a comic and I'll get to play some Blasphemous. Friday, of course, we have the show. I won't be visiting this Saturday. So maybe we'll get it on Tuesday. I'll try to bring it back for you guys on Tuesday. How about that? So, we'll see you next Tuesday with more, and there's an H scene that you can look forward to. Alright, I'm out. I'll see you next time.